Zeit Gang, you like to watch new stuff, right? I mean, who doesn't? I do. Well, go to Hulu and see what's new, because Hulu has new stuff all the time, like Vanderpump Villa, the new docudrama starring Lisa Vanderpump, where first-class luxury meets world-class drama, a new season of The Kardashians starring The Kardashians, of course, and Grand Cayman, Secrets in Paradise, the sizzling new reality show set in the tropical Caribbean. It's streaming now, and it's waiting for you on Hulu.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with a king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. That's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
Here's something you might not know about wireless. Sometimes what you see isn't what you get. But with Visible, what you see is what you get. Switch to Visible, the wireless company that makes wireless visible. Get a one-line plan with unlimited 5G data powered by Verizon. Just $25 per month, taxes and fees included. Switch now at Visible.com. Monthly rate on the Visible plan. For data management practices and additional terms, visit Visible.com.
Hello, the internet, and welcome to season 304, episode 4 of Der Daily Zeitgeist, a production of iHeartRadio. This is a podcast where we take a deep dive into America's shared consciousness, and it is Friday, September 15th, 2023.
Mm-hmm.
What do we have some national days?
Oh, yeah. It's the first of all, it's the birthday of two princes, Harry and Miles.
That's
also,
right.
Also, it's National Double Cheeseburger Day. It's National Online Learning Day. It's National Neonatal
Happy
Nurses
Birthday,
Day.
Happy birthday, Harry.
Hey, thank you. Exactly. I take that as me, too. National Linguini Day. National Tackle Kids Cancer Day. There's a lot. Tradesman Day. Shout out the tradies. National Cheese Toast Day. National Felt Hat Day. POW, MIA,
they're trying to overshadow you with all these.
It's a lot. It's a lot. But you know,
how am I supposed to celebrate you and National Felt Hat Day at the same time? You know, my heart is only so big.
Wear a felt birthday hat.
That's right. How you doing, man? Are you doing anything? How you doing, man?
Hey,
I turned into Eric Roberts there for a second.
See you yesterday.
How you doing, man? You doing anything special though for your birthday?
I'm notoriously like I don't like attention on myself, like in a way that I have to plan it kind of thing.
Yeah.
So when it's up to me, I'm really fine with just like doing nothing.
Killing.
But Her Majesty was like, you got to do fucking something. So I was like, I'll maybe have dinner or something like that. But anyway, shout out Becky. Such an earth sign of you. Yeah, sure. I guess.
Are you an earth sign?
I don't know. I don't know what the things are because the Geist Child is an Aquarius. And I'm like, oh, yeah, that's got to be water. And then Her Majesty's like, nah, it ain't. And I'm like, but it's got aqua in the fucking name. Like, none of this shit makes sense. So that's when, like, my shit is only limited to knowing, like, what time of year, what season we are. Thank you, Becca. Aquarius is air. Tee-hee.
That is an airy sound.
Tee-hee. Yeah.
Well, my name, enough about you on your birthday.
Enough. Move on.
My name is Jack O'Brien, a.k.a. NASA has discovered a planet in space now. Let's go, baby. It's got a water ocean. Its air is filled with farts and it's bigger than Earth now. Let's go, baby. It's got a water ocean. It takes 100 years for its light to get here. But baby, if we make it, we can breathe the fart air. So let's go swim the water ocean with me. Ooh. That is courtesy of Blinky Heck talking about that water ocean.
Yeah.
You know, NASA discovery of a planet. They can't stop talking about how it's got a water ocean.
Yeah.
I tell my coworkers one time that I'm going to the Atlantic water ocean on vacation, and they accuse me of sounding like a robot, but I guess NASA can get away with it. Must be nice, NASA.
When I saw that thing where it's like to the tune of Kylie Minogue's locomotion, I was like, I know the OG. I know the, yeah, I didn't know. I don't know. I'm guessing the melody matches up, so I think we're good.
I think so.
Yeah.
And I'm thrilled to be joined, as always, by my co-host, the birthday boy, Mr. Miles Gray!
Thank you so much. It's Miles Gray, a.k.a. You gotta stomp them all and kill them all here in the north, the east. You gotta spray them all with vinegar until they are deceased. Don't need no prayeration till the nation has got rid of these. Let's get exterminating lantern flies, invasive species. Okay, woo! Shout out to No Clue for that Mary J. Blige-inspired family affair, because I didn't know about how New Yorkers are all like obligated to stomp the shit out of lantern flies and stuff. So
mission.
Yeah.
Mission of murder. Walking around the city with murder in their hearts. Armed with vinegar.
Yeah. You got to keep that thing on your hip. So shout out to the people who are doing their best to keep the invasive species out. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, Miles, we are thrilled to be joined by a very funny comedian you've seen on places like their stand-up special, Gentleman Elf, on Netflix, Internet Flickers, I believe is the full name.
Yeah,
is that why we call them flicks? Because of flicker, they flicker like light? I don't know. Anyways, their comedy has hundreds of millions of views on YouTube. Their stand-up has been described as slick, silly brilliance. I watched the specials, that very much so. Their effortless charm lets them get away with murder, is another quote, although their bio firmly states they've not cashed in the getaway with murder chip.
Maybe you should try it out.
I don't know. Mm-hmm. They have not gone ahead and murdered.
Except with those lantern flies.
Please welcome to the show, Deanne Smith!
Yes! Guys, hi. Let me tell you what. First of all, I've just met you. I feel like, and I love, you're bringing kind of old school morning radio DJ energy to this experience. Like
to this
the way you guys are hype. I'm trying to, I got to catch up. Noticed today my coffee was decaf, which is very disappointing to me. But
do you buy decaf intentionally?
I forgot it existed, so I forgot to like
to read the label.
Right. I was just coffee, and then I was like, "Gah!"
What's the process of even decaffeinating? Like, isn't it naturally there, or like, it's not like it's like some synthetic? I don't know why I'm asking people who don't even indulge in it. So, how do they decaffeinate coffee?
I'm sure it's just some manner of horticulture.
Yeah,
some horticultural magician figured it out.
Beck is telling us.
Coming through. We're looking at the same Google thing right now. Yep, warm and soaked in liquid to dissolve and remove the caffeine in one of four ways. Okay.
Wow.
All right.
There it is.
I had the thought this morning, am I secretly drinking decaf? Because I felt very tired even after I drank a little bit of coffee. But it eventually hit. I'm here. I'm up. Okay. I'm ready.
Yeah.
I'm up. I'm up, to quote Biggie at the beginning of California Love.
There it is. Whoa, Cali? Great acting from Christopher Wallace.
The best acting we've ever heard. Deanne, where are you coming to us from?
I am coming to you from Brooklyn, New York City.
Hey.
All right.
So you're engaged in the war.
And it hurts my heart. They're very beautiful, these lantern flies. Yeah.
Are you doing your duty as a Northeasterner to?
A lot of times I am. I am just squashing them when I see them, but I got to admit, sometimes I just see them and I do let them live.
Right. You're like, you're not invading my space, so I don't know.
It's rich of us as human beings to call them an invasive species, you think?
They're not supposed to be here.
Especially,
we started in Africa and we're all over the fucking place now. Is anybody saying that we're invasive? I don't know. Maybe a conversation.
On the continent of North America, probably.
Yeah, for sure.
These fucking invasive species over here. Fuck. Yeah. Sorry. Look, my mom immigrated here. My dad's family got a weird boat ride over here for a work exchange thing that didn't work out.
Huh.
I think it's called slavery.
Work yes, training.
That's
right.
How the state of Florida would call it. Yeah.
On the job training. All right. Deanne, we are thrilled to have you. We're going to get to know you a little bit better in a moment. First, we're going to tell our listeners a couple of the things we're talking about. We're going to touch base with the out-of-touch Billies, the silly Billy billionaires. Mm-hmm. We'll talk about Bill Maher bringing his terrible TV show back to air despite the strike. A new technology in the realm of caffeination. We've got new caffeination technology, caffeinated cup of noodles or cup noodles.
Yeah.
Which I've been calling it cup o' noodles. I did not notice they dropped the O in 1993.
Yeah.
It took me 30 years. I noticed it on this morning's doc.
No one says, I mean, it's funny because it's the original Japanese product has always been called cup noodle. And then they're like, we got to adapt that for American people. It's like, yeah, it's a cup of noodles. And then, but I think from this point forward, people always call it cup of noodles anyway, because, you know, we don't read things.
I thought it was Irish. I thought it was cup o' noodles parenthesis or apostrophe. We might even talk about the iPhone 12 being too radioactive for France. Great news for me, who's been carrying an iPhone 12
same.
For the past 3 years.
Same. Like, is it? I mean, it's perfect timing to be like, all right, I guess I get the new one since mine is radioactive.
Yeah. What the fuck?
Yeah.
Anyways, all of that, plenty more. But first, DM, we do like to ask our guests, what is something from your search history?
Oh, my gosh. Okay. What is something from my search history? The two most recent, I'm not sure if this paints me as I would like to be seen, but the two most recent are aviation recipe. I was making cocktails at home.
Okay.
And I can tell you more about that in a minute. And tattoo infection. I got to be honest.
Oof. I see you got some ink.
I got some ink. This is the freshest.
Yeah.
You know, we got some stuff going on. Do you guys have tattoos?
I have one. Yes. That I got 17 years ago. And it just looks it looks so sad now.
You probably don't know about second skin, which is a type of bandage you can put on top. It's clear and it's sticky on one side. It goes right over the tattoo. It smooths over your skin.
And you're meant
to leave it there for a minute. And it, you know, it helps it heal, whatever. I think my skin had a reaction to the adhesive of the second skin.
Ooh.
And it looks gnarly.
Oh, no.
But my Google search revealed, as I suspected, I don't have a fever. It's not overly painful. Etc. I think it's going to be fine, guys.
It's like irritated lightly.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Oh, I wish I could show you, but
is it to the point where you're worried about the tattoo itself?
Weird bumps.
Oh yeah.
Wow. Yeah.
Yeah. No, the tattoo itself seems to be fine. It's just kind of flaky. You know how it gets.
Yeah.
But you know, I tend to think every injury, every state is permanent. That's a problem that I have. So I was like, I don't like how it looks. This is it forever now.
I have that when I'm tired. I'm like, maybe this is it.
Is this
maybe
forever?
I'm dying.
I guess this is tiny death.
Forever. Yeah.
Miles, I'm very curious about your 17-year-old tattoo. What is it?
It is of my favorite football club in London, Arsenal. And I got it. Folks, never go get matching or never go get tattoos with a romantic partner because it does somehow begin some kind of countdown sequence to.
Oh, really? I didn't know that. I didn't know it was one half of.
We both went and I was like, this was in anticipation of going to London. I was like, oh, I'm gonna get it. I've been such a fan for years before that. And I got it. And the person I was dating at the time got some other tattoo in a similar location, but we both went to the same artist and it was this whole thing. Most of the time people say, don't get matching tattoos. That's usually that can be superstitious. I've seen that from, I guess, my own friend circle. But yeah, I got it. And it's now just due to sun and just kind of a lot of motion in my wrist. It's just getting a little blurry. I feel like I have glaucoma when I look at it. So, you know, might need a bit of a touch up, you know?
Yeah, that happens to all tattoos.
Yeah, exactly. Especially with stuff with finer lines and things like that. Yeah,
you kind of lucked out in that it does not seem like one half of a a love romantic tattoo.
Yeah, yeah,
just
yeah.
Like
it's
you support
not like,
this club.
Yeah, like half a heart when it's like, oh, yeah. Where's the other half? I'm like, I don't know, man. But yeah, oh, the reason when you talked about your tattoo infection thing, I thought there were like a bunch of viral tweets over like the last 2 weeks of people's horribly maintained fresh tattoos.
Oh,
like,
no.
Someone had like letters like tattooed and they didn't take care of it. And like the skin just started like peeling off as if it was like a stencil like of the words. And I was oh no. Like, were you actually putting butter on it and like rubbing? It was anyway. So I got worried for a second that it was something on that scale. But yeah.
No, I think it's ultimately okay. We'll do a quick Google and just check it out.
Yeah, yeah. It's not forever. And wait, what's the aviation card?
So aviation is a gin cocktail. And now that I have Googled it and made it many times, I can tell you exactly how to make it. Uh-huh. You're looking at 2 ounces of gin, 3/4 ounce of lemon juice, 1/2 ounce of maraschino liqueur, 1/4 ounce of creme de violette, which gives it a nice little purple color. Uh-huh. And then garnish with a cherry, and there you go. Gorgeous little gin drink.
Hey, wait, is that because of, isn't Ryan Reynolds' gin company called Aviation?
Yeah, and you know, I got to admit, it's subpar gin in an aviation. There are better gins to have in your aviation.
Oh, so it's just like a term that's used around gin, so it made sense to brand it as aviation. It's not like it comes from this specific company or something.
No, I think I think it's a cocktail that exists, and then he must have just named his gym company that. I don't know a lot about his moves.
Yeah, not many people do. No, not many people do, but we buy the stuff anyway.
I got a couple unofficial biographies I can recommend for you guys.
On YouTube. These are really grainy, man.
There's something just like so classy feeling about the early days of commercial, like it reminds me of like all the pictures in the like TWA lounge, or you know, like just old 1950s celebrities flying around on like giant prop jets.
Yeah.
You know
what I mean? Like that's what I'm feeling with the aviation gin recipe.
Yeah. When they didn't have seat belts or anything either.
Nah. Why you need seat belts?
Smoking in the sky.
Yeah.
There's like that restaurant in LA that does that, where like they have like one of those old airliners that they like rehabbed.
Yeah.
And you can do like the TWA experience.
It was originally called aviation because that was the customary thing to make for your pilot after takeoff. You wanted to get him a couple.
Wait, really?
Gin.
I'd believe that.
No. I'm believing it as well. You really had like the narration.
Probably. Your face just went. No.
You had the narration voice of like just reading straight off Wikipedia. I absolutely believe
he flies better when he's a little bit drunk, when he's aviation.
I mean, the 50s, anything. I would believe anything. It's like, give him that drink, let him goose a couple of stewardesses.
That's right.
Yeah. What's wrong with a little goosing? Wait, please use the technical term, because that's a little too euphemistic, Mr. Pilot.
I didn't even know that I knew that term until just right now.
Goosen. Yeah. What's something you think is overrated?
Overrated? Capitalism. We know it. Everybody knows it.
Not
we
on
are
this
tired
podcast.
Of living in the system.
Okay.
We're
okay.
Huge fans, but okay. Tell us what's wrong with capitalism, I guess.
I don't know. Just the way I guess it exploits human beings, animals, nature, is destroying the planet, is grinding us all, crushing us all.
Yeah.
Completely anti-democratic, unequal. Now listen, do I have a solution?
Though?
Not quite. Not exactly. I'm halfway there. I will tell you what's
any
overrated.
Any move away from it is, I think, a solution. I think it's more to be like, is it capitalism? Yes, then don't do that.
Giving me hip skin cancer, presumably, for my iPhone 12.
Absolutely. You got to do what I did. You got to skip from the 10 straight to the 14. You got to get on your ex's family plan.
Wow.
And ingratiate yourself to her parents and just stay there.
What a move.
10 to 14. I mean, I'm about to go 12 to 15, but maybe I should wait. It's 3 years feels like a long time to wait. And I was kind of taking pride in the fact that I've waited so long to upgrade. And it turns out the only thing that has got me is excess radiation.
Okay, counterpoint, stay with it longer, more radiation. What powers might you accrue?
Exactly.
What cool things might happen?
Yeah. Just a lot of unwanted body hair, like on your hip, like from where your pocket is, probably. It's like, I got a real tuft of hair here that just won't go away.
Or in my case, just like a perfect rectangle of no hair. Because everything else is hairy, but just weird. What's wrong with you?
That's where you'll get your matching tattoo.
A little bit. I know. I am wondering on the tattoo thing, is 43 too old to get your first tattoo?
No, not at all. That's the perfect time, actually. You've lived so much life. You know what you like. Your body's in the second half, quite frankly. Like you're committing, but not for so long.
Yeah.
And it'll look
exactly less.
It'll look good in like 20 years still, you know?
Right.
Like a lot of tattoos you get when you're young and then you start being like, I got to kind of maintain some of these, or they just end up looking like
old sailor energy.
Yeah, exactly.
I think what's exciting about that is you could go really big and bold for your first tattoo. I mean, I started at 18. I was getting little tiny stuff, piecing it together, you know, little stickery type of stuff. You could just go, I'm going full sleeve. I'm getting the chest tattooed, whatever.
Yeah. Dude,
Ben Affleck, Phoenix, back tat.
Phoenix, back tat.
Have you seen that, Deanne?
I don't think I have.
Yeah.
Ben Affleck has the wildest Phoenix back tattoo. Here, I'll bring it up. So
you ever seen the cover or the movie poster for the film Red Dragon?
Oh my goodness. I was about to say, I couldn't imagine that it would be good. But it isn't terrible. I mean, it's not great, absolutely. But it is better than I thought it might be.
It looks like it's cracking a little bit in places for some reason. I don't know.
I think they could be like
that part of the design.
I think there must be some, because it seems like consistently going through. But hey, look, he's a phoenix rising from the ashes.
Listen, I'm body positive, and I will say there's something about that tattoo that really accentuates the muffin top.
Yeah. It does towards the end. It's a beautiful thing.
Also, does making fun of people's tattoos count as being not body positive?
Listen, I think
now that it's on their body.
I think at the end of the day, all tattoos, and I have a bunch, actually look kind of stupid. Like they're all kind of bad. There's really no such thing as like a great tattoo. They're still fun to get, I think, and it's like a fun way to decorate your body. Yeah. But I think we got to make fun of tattoos. Yeah. We gotta make fun of our own tattoos.
Yeah. Not to say that they're bad, but let's have fun.
This is
going to
be flaky. Yeah, I'm going to show you my most recent tattoo. I got this in my 40s, you guys. It looks like I'm a huge fan of jam bands, and I got it in the 90s when I was like 19. I just let the artist do what he wanted, and then I was like, I don't love it. It's brand new.
Damn,
This mushroom here.
There you go.
Mushrooms are having a moment.
They're having a moment for sure.
Mushrooms are all right, but there's so many more, let's say, beautiful mushrooms than this jam band space age, whatever is going on.
Yeah.
The black light poster. Thank you. And it's like, is this my personality? Not really, but people are going to think so now. And whatever.
Now you have to adopt a mushroomy kind of vibe.
Yeah.
I got to start doing more mushrooms.
You got that psilocybin on you?
I mean, to be fair, I have weaned myself off antidepressants. That is my mental health care plan, is to just do mushrooms like every 3 months in the woods.
There you go.
Yeah.
Yeah.
There are benefits. There are proven benefits. So you're not far off. You're not far off.
You guys microdosing? You macrodosing?
I do it all.
Yeah?
I do it all. Micro to macro, but mostly micro because that's been the, it's been like wonderful. But even like for like socially on the weekends, like where I used to maybe like want to drink a ton or do shit like that, I found just a little bit of psilocybin gets me vibing.
Oh, I like that idea. I have never experienced it in that way.
Yeah, like not
liquor before beer, never fear. Little psilocybin gets you vibing.
Gets you vibing. You know that.
There you go.
But you don't go quite, you go a little bit over, you know, like what a microdose would be, but not enough to go like, you know, asking like, is this forever?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I did not get to it for this forever place, but last time that I did mushrooms like a month or so ago, I definitely found myself wrapped in my hammock in the woods weeping, but in a cleansing way, yeah, like an inside shower.
Love a good cry.
And then kind of emerged from the hammock as if from a womb, reborn into the world, which is great.
That's one of the things that capitalism doesn't afford us, is like that we're probably missing most as people, is just like a good cry wrapped in a hammock in the woods. I feel probably before everyone was keeping track of your time and stuff like that, people were spending, you know, 20% of their time just weeping. Just get the shit out.
What are you saying? Should I start a wellness retreat in the woods?
I think so.
I'm doing it. I'm charging $999.
Yeah, exactly.
Absolutely.
Just capitalism just immediately eats everything.
Right. And they're like, I trust Deanne. They got the mushroom tattoo.
Oh, no. I am committed to the lifestyle now.
you could easily grift with that tattoo for sure. Someone who's a little overly trusting.
Oh, man. I don't even remember. Have we done underrated yet?
No.
What? Oh, we have not.
That's how much of a LARP this overrated and underrated and search history's been. I forget where we are. What is, Deanne, something you think is underrated?
Okay, this is something I firmly believe. I'm very interested in your take on it. Aging is underrated.
Oh,
I think. Yes? Okay, great. Great. Yeah. It's actually secretly the best.
Yeah. Yeah. I've done this thing where as I approach 40, I just turned 39. As I approach 40, I'm like always questioning, I'm like, do I feel too young for my measurable age? Like, I've had this thing in my mind where I was like, I thought like I'm going to be all fucking dead and shit by this time, or like not feel like I'm still very like exuberant and have like that sort of same like appetite for life that I did 10 years ago. And then along with that, like the calm that comes with life experience and being able to be honest about your feelings and, you know, doing that kind of self-work and becoming more self-aware gives me such a greater appreciation for like how I live than I ever could when I was like completely carefree in my 20s. So yeah, I've only loved the progression of time, at least from my corporal experience.
Yeah, this is absolutely it. Where do you weigh in on this, Jack?
I talk about this a lot, that like physically you kind of know how to do stuff more, like weirdly. So like I actually feel like I'm getting better at, like there are definitely the aches and pains, but like I'm getting better at like tennis, even though I don't like play much tennis. Like I just like know how to do stuff with my hands better. Mentally, you know what you like. Get to read books. Like they've done studies, like measurably happiness goes up as you age.
Okay.
But I think capitalism likes the myth that you need something.
You gotta
recapture. You need to like live it up as a youth because this is as good as it gets, and likes to keep us frenzied and stupid in our youth.
Yeah. That's why I have like this perceptual thing I have to get over where I'm like, oh, I'm X age. Like, I should wear more long pants or something rather than shorts or like sandals. And I'm like, I'm just going to continue like living in my happiness no matter what, however old I am on paper. But it is weird that like all the time I'm like, am I like acting right for my age? But I'm like, what the fuck concept am I even trying to subscribe to here? Like, in terms, rather than just being like, life is something you experience, and the thing that you have to center is like your own like happiness and well-being, and don't be a piece of shit to other people. And as long as you're doing that, wear your fucking basketball shorts and sandals to Trader Joe's.
The Gen Zs, the youngers, I don't know what that next level younger is. They might make fun of the middle-aged man in his shorts at the Trader Joe's.
And they do.
That's their right. Exactly. Yeah.
And to me, I'm like, it's like part of nature. And I'm like, thank you, young ones, for chirping at me. And like, this motherfucker washed his shit. And I'm like, thank you. I'm comfortable.
I was just talking about, I think this, that there's an interesting possibility that like, you know, there's this thing called the Flynn effect that says that each subsequent generation is smarter than the one that comes before it. They're like a little bit faster.
Mm-hmm.
Old people seem slow because they are a little bit slower because they're from like a slower generation where everything was slower. So maybe that's why it like looks to be not as fun because like things are being written, like, you know, the thinking and like a lot of the communication is being done by young people. But as long as you're okay with that and you're not like going kicking and screaming and being like, fuck you, you're dumber than me, you're wrong, it is the kids yeah. that are wrong, then like in terms of your actual happiness, like as long as you're willing to admit like kids are smart and like they'll be fine without you,
yeah,
they'll
yeah.
do better without you, then you're gonna be all right.
Yeah.
And it actually does, living your life actually does get easier and more fun.
It really does. And I'm realizing I want to tell you a very quick anecdote about my grandma, who has now passed. She passed at the age of 97. But when she was about 95, she was an incredible role model for aging and staying vital and young. She had so many friends. She had more social plans than I do. And she lived in Tennessee. She lived alone. And I was visiting her after a gig one time. I came back to her house pretty late. It was like, I don't know, maybe midnight. I think it was after midnight. And I walked in the front door and she greeted me at the door. She's like so tiny in her little long white nightgown. And I was like, oh, I'm sorry, Graham. Did I wake you up? And she's like, no, I was just watching Breaking Bad. And then she shuffled back. And we stayed up till like 2 a.m. just watching Breaking Bad. Like she loved that shit. And that was like when she was 95 years old.
Yeah.
Because you can. Because you don't have a bedtime. You can watch Breaking exactly. Bad all fucking night.
Yeah. Who's going to tell me? Who's going to check me?
I think she was both scandalized and probably had a little crush on Walter White.
Yeah. Oh, okay. No, I get that. I get that.
Yeah.
But yeah, and I think to your point, Jack, of like looking at older generations, like my concept of an older person would be like my grandparents who lived a very difficult life, being born in like the late 20s, 30s. And you're like, damn, like you can just tell what that life did to them. And you can see how technology sort of lightens that physical burden, because people look like are looking younger and younger as they age just because of all of our technological advancements. But yeah, to that end, like I would always be like, oh man, like am I gonna have to just wear like leather woven sandals and walk real slow rather than just, you know, figuring out what your own thing is and not having that sort of, not having to be sort of live comparatively and trying to make sense of that through comparison. I think that's the big thing.
And we are going to have to wear leather woven sandals and walk real slow, but you just
have to. Okay, sounds great.
That. Yeah.
Leather woven sandals?
Please. All right. Well, let's take a quick break and we'll come back and talk about some elderly folks who aren't doing so well with being out of touch. We'll be right back.
You like to watch new stuff, right, Zygang? I know I do. Well, go to Hulu and see what's new. Because Hulu has new stuff all the time, like Vanderpump Villa, the new docudrama starring Lisa Vanderpump. Join Lisa and her hand-selected staff at Chateau Rosabelle, a glamorous estate in the French countryside, as they live, work, and play together 24/7. Vanderpump Villa is where first-class luxury meets world-class drama. And don't miss the new season of The Kardashians, starring The Kardashians, of course, and Season 5 promises new horizons for the entire Kardashian clan. And if you're looking for steamy streams, check out Grand Cayman Secrets in Paradise, the sizzling new reality show set on the tropical Caribbean island of Grand Cayman, where the rich come to play. But be warned, it's a small island and secrets don't stay secret for long. So come check out what's new on Hulu this month. It's streaming now and it's waiting for you on Hulu.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. That's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
From BBC Radio 4, Britain's biggest paranormal podcast, is going on a road trip.
I thought in that moment, oh my God, we've summoned something from this board.
This is Uncanny USA.
He says, somebody's in the house, and I screamed.
Listen to Uncanny USA wherever you get your BBC podcasts, if you dare.
And we're back, and we got a new dispatch from the guy who told us that millennials wouldn't be broke if they didn't eat so much avocado toast.
Yeah, I thought that guy just went into hiding, but he's back with an even shittier take. I'm just gonna play this guy's clip. He's at a business conference and he's basically saying out loud the thing that most billionaire business owners are always thinking.
I think the problem that we've had is that we have people decided that they didn't really want to work so much anymore through COVID, and that has had a massive issue on productivity. You know, tradies have definitely pulled back on productivity. You know, they have been paid a lot to do not too much in the last few years. And we need to see that change. We need to see unemployment rise. Unemployment has to jump 40-50% in my view. We need to see pain in the economy. We need to remind people that they work for the employer, not the other way around. I mean, there's been a systematic change where employees feel the employer is extremely lucky to have them, as opposed to the other way around. So it's a dynamic that has to change. We've got
so he goes on to say, we gotta kill that attitude. Like, I'm sorry. Wow. What?
I was wondering earlier you said something about tradies, and I was like, what does that mean?
Yeah, trades. So if tradespeople. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, tradies.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, tradies.
He seems cool and like he's in touch and just looking out for the common man.
Yeah.
What a monster. Well, holy shit.
I mean, but this is the kind of thing we've seen this way of thinking play out in our own economy, like with the Federal Reserve, as they try to, quote, tackle inflation, which is really diluting worker power. And Fed chair and private equity mogul Jerome Powell gave this very euphemistic description of how they intend to tackle inflation when he said, basically, over the past few weeks, he said, fixing inflation will, quote, require a sustained period of below trend growth and some softening of labor market conditions. And as he put it, quote, by reducing hiring demand, that would give us a chance to get inflation down, get wages down, and then get inflation down.
Wow.
So he means people need to get kicked in the teeth in the labor market, so they'll take lower wages, because the thinking here is that higher interest rates mean companies can borrow less, and to still make profits, they have to lay people off, as we've seen this happen over the course of the year. And if more people are unemployed, then they can pay lower wages and then presumably lower the cost of their goods, allegedly. That's the concept that they point to. But all of the research shows that the wages are not driving inflation, despite every billionaire wanting to kind of keep this narrative going. It's like, we got to pay these people so much now that I don't know what to do except price gouge the customer. Everybody knows it's supply chain issues. It's rising energy costs, a fucking housing crisis, and profit hoarding by corporations. Yes. That's what it is. Yeah. So we're just sort of caught in this, like, very, like, they're really trying to, like, say these things out loud. He's now that guy who just spoke, Tim Gerner. He's like, sorry about that. Didn't mean to. Kind of a hot take from me. It's just
Oh, really? He apologized for saying, wow.
I don't know. And also, the thing about him, he's also a millennial, the avocado toast guy. So he was just trying to be like, as a millennial that's figured it out, to my fellow millennies, lay off the avocado toast, will you?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I did not expect him to be Australian. I've seen the headlines. I've never heard him speak before. I didn't know exactly who he was. Australians generally are the most laid back, chill people. And I've been there a bunch. Their avocado toast is super expensive. But that's because in part, they are actually paying their, like, cafe workers make like $25 an hour. You don't tip over there. It's just not part of the system.
Right.
Because for the most part, people are making a living wage. This guy, He's the antithesis of everything I know about Australians. That's all. That's all.
Right. Yeah. He's the least chill Aussie I know.
I don't know why he can't just be vibing with some psilocybin.
Yeah. Vibe with psilocybe, bro.
Let everybody that's have thing. Enough.
I wonder what kind of revelation he would have on a mushroom trip, though. I
feel like he is. I know a lot. There's like a lot of Silicon Valley people and people like that who do take psychedelics. And I think they do show the limitation of that because it can be just like bent to whatever is of interest in your interests.
Yeah. Right. I don't think it can cure psychopathy or whatever's going on with that guy.
Yeah. Whatever the fuck.
Just abject greed.
Yeah. The story. And ones like it always frustrate me because I will be like, it really seems like the reason prices are going up is because they're raising prices. And that feels bad because they're not raising people's wages to go with the prices. And then when they have to talk about the fact that they're raising the prices on the things we have to buy, but not paying us anymore, when they talk about that, they say that it's actually... we have it too good.
Yeah.
And when I say that, like every once in a while, like somebody will be come in like in the Discord or something. They'll be like, actually, I'm an economist and your understanding of this is ass backwards. And it's actually market forces that are like forcing this shit. Like, and I don't know, like maybe I'm missing some large piece of the puzzle, but it really feels like the whole idea of economics and all of this shit is just like noise that has been utilized to concentrate power and wealth in the hands of like a very few. And we have this thing where like now all of the economic indicators are telling us like things are good, guys. We should be happy, but nobody's happy because things aren't actually good for anyone except them.
Right.
So it's just very frustrating. It feels like it's like an attack on like the very, like, I don't know, they've done this thing like, what, like capitalism is overrated in the sense that it's like not a good way to run the world. But I think it's underrated in how just like persistent and all encompassing and brilliant it is. And like, this is just one of those ways that it like invades language. It attacks meaning, you know, it attacks our ability to create meaning and even fucking like talk about what is happening around us.
Right.
In a way that is really frustrating and deflating. And I think is the real reason that it's like so hard to get any sort of revolution like going is because it's just so fucking complicated. And capitalism, you know, we can work hard. Capitalism works harder. But, you know,
I am so glad you brought up revolution. I didn't want to have to say it. I don't want to have to say it needs to be violent, but I will say it's all these people seem to respond to. In terms of,
then they start getting,
I don't know,
like,
that it has to be so complicated. What freaks me out, and I'm taking this conversation completely sideways, but what freaks me out is how capitalism has kind of eaten our modes of communication, or how, I don't even, these are new ideas and I'm saying them out loud for the first time. I'm just feeling empowered on this podcast.
Yeah, no,
you are.
You know, we're all hooked into the internet and we're not in control of that. That can be censored and taken away from us at any time. Mm-hmm. I really think, we got to get out there. We got to get in the communities. We got to be talking to each other, coming up with alternate modes of communication. And we do actually have to get this revolution going.
And we need to scare the fuck out of these people. But they're just going to be like, then I'll just go deeper into the core of the earth in my bunker and hide.
Absolutely. No, they all have bunkers in New Zealand.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. But like, this is just like this perspective of the ruling class, like market forces are not right. Like this idea that like workers should be grateful that they're paid subsistence wages while they get to fuck off to a tropical island. No, that doesn't fucking square with me. And not a single one of these mutant fuck jobs would ever dare say that maybe they are the ones should take a hit to their fucking wages. Yeah. Never.
Do you think you're a million times better and like smarter than us? Because you have a million times more money than any of us have. You have
a million times. You know how to assemble this fucking automobile? Right. Go ahead, asshole. Get on the fucking line.
Yeah.
You're going to fuck up and hurt yourself because you don't know what the fuck you're doing because you've, you know, laughed your way up to the top because of the class that you come from or the place you were able to climb to. And I think that's what's really... like, I think that's what's really fucked up is that there's this continuation. If you're just watching like CNN or some shit where they're never going to be like, I mean, maybe one like side commentator might be like, well, why don't CEOs make less? Like, why are we not asking someone who makes $25 million a year?
But they'll treat it like it's a childish complaint.
Yeah, no, exactly. Yeah. And because what they're saying is the whole game is that you should aspire to get to that point. You don't want to stay at this low point because that's the worst. And we're not interested in making the lives better for people who have to work like wage jobs or whatever. And it's just and I think that's the part that a lot of people, they just feel that inherent unfairness of it all. And then you get people like Larry Summers who just like second that from like a tropical island. And he's like, yeah. It's like the workers need to like pipe down. Like, this is wild.
Yeah. All right. Let's take a quick break and we'll come back and talk about what a great comedian Bill Maher is and how much we're looking forward to seeing him just without the writers, without those writers getting in the way of his hilarious hot takes. We'll be right back.
You like to watch new stuff, right, Zygang? I know I do. Well, go to Hulu and see what's new. Because Hulu has new stuff all the time, like Vanderpump Villa, the new docudrama starring Lisa Vanderpump. Join Lisa and her hand-selected staff at Chateau Rosabelle, a glamorous estate in the French countryside, as they live, work, and play together 24/7. Vanderpump Villa is where first-class luxury meets world-class drama. And don't miss the new season of The Kardashians, starring The Kardashians, of course. And season 5 promises new horizons for the entire Kardashian clan. And if you're looking for steamy streams, check out Grand Cayman Secrets in Paradise, the sizzling new reality show set on the tropical Caribbean island of Grand Cayman, where the rich come to play. But be warned, it's a small island. And secrets don't stay secret for long. So come check out what's new on Hulu this month. It's streaming now, and it's waiting for you on Hulu.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. That's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
From BBC Radio 4, Britain's biggest paranormal podcast is going on a road trip.
I thought in that moment, oh my God, we've summoned something from this board.
This is Uncanny USA.
He says, somebody's in the house, and I screamed.
Listen to Uncanny USA wherever you get your BBC podcasts, if you dare.
And we're back.
We're back.
And all right. So Bill Maher is feeling empowered by how Drew Barrymore brought her show back, and everyone was just like, all right, it's cool. We're good. Oh, wait. No, that didn't happen. It went really badly. He's like said some horrible shit about the writer's strike and like how writers' demands are kooky. And I think, you know, it received a bunch of criticism that he should have listened to, but instead I think he got his feelings hurt for mm-hmm. being criticized and is now was just like, well, fuck it, I'll do the show
right
without the writers, because he said that he's defending his decision by stating writers are not the only people with issues, problems, and concerns.
Yeah, okay. I like that. I think, is he doing the same thing about just trying to swap out writers to be like, I'm concerned about the people who are like working on the stage and things like that?
Probably.
Because you see, there is a, I mean, like, you know, I know people that are Nyatsi who are in solidarity with SAG and the WGA. And
yeah,
I know
this
like
is how labor action works.
Yeah, this is how, but this is also like the very convenient like rationale they use. Like, well, I do care about people. It's these other people. And right. And I'm not trying to undermine what's happening with these other labor unions, but we see it, Bill. We see what you're doing.
Yeah. I ask Zeitgang, like some brave Zeitgang member, watch this. Watch what it looks like. Like, I can't do it. I can't watch his show when he comes back.
Can't even watch it with writers. I'm
I know.
Sorry to
I didn't
the people
even
that
know
work on
he
that show.
Had a show anymore, to be honest.
He does. It's so bad. It's so fucking bad. But the only time you like get an unguarded moment from him is like suddenly he'll like get defensive and be like, oh, come on. Why are you guys laughing? I mean, really? Like, right. That's like his whole energy. So like, I'm just, what the fuck is that show going to be? I mean, it's going to probably be like Scab Writers, but like also he's just so aggressively unfunny and shitty.
He's been just smarmin' and muggin' and smirking at the camera for years. So he can keep doing that without writers for sure.
Yeah. He could probably just, I feel like the whole show could just be him scoffing at like,
just little noises coming out of him.
Yeah. Really? Wages? Oh, kooky. It's kooky. Healthcare? Yeah.
The WGA called the move disappointing because they apparently had higher expectations for Bill Maher than the rest of the world, but said that Maher is a WGA member and therefore cannot perform any writing services himself. Mm-hmm. So he's not even going to be able to write his own jokes. We're going to have to watch him try and act like he's making the stuff up off the cuff.
Right. I like how he's like, I won't do a monologue, okay, to honor the spirit of the strike, because I couldn't improvise one if I fucking tried. But I wonder, do you think he's like secretly like, fuck, man, get some scabs in here? Or do you think his ego's big enough? He's like, I don't fucking need writers to do my shit. Watch this. Like, what version do you think we're getting? That he's truly...
I'm going ego. I just feel that from
ego
him.
Then rather than going the scab route?
Yeah, I think he's probably been shielded for long enough by his career, his wealth, and like the people around him that he thinks he's actually funny enough to pull this off.
Oh. What is the structure of the show? So, okay, he doesn't do a monologue. What is it? And how can
new
he exist?
Rule.
Okay.
New
okay.
rule.
I mean, it'll probably just be having guests on. But then he'll probably not have a single guest. Like, because, you know, he'll have, like, all kinds of... I'm
new rule. Babe should let me hug them. Like,
what? All right, man. I mean, I have a feeling he's just going to have, you know, like, he'll have his round table of talking heads, but probably not a single person who would point out how absurd it is for him to bring the show back and go completely against the strike. Right. So I'm sure he'll have, like, you know, James Carville on or something. And some other stand-up comedian who had recently been canceled. So they can be like, I don't understand why they want all these new wages. And that'll just be the show. And they can just agree with each other that they're not bad.
Yeah. The hack comedians are eating right now, man. They're David Spade and Snake Oil, like that show. I don't know. Maybe he's not a hack. I haven't been up on his. I haven't been watching his stand-up lately, but...
He's like the inside of a Bill Maher babushka doll, really. Like, I didn't realize how much these people had in common until just right now. But there are these kind of diminishing versions of the same guy.
Right. Yeah, because Snake Oil comes out. Yeah, it's like in the middle of the strike and won't need writers, I guess, because it's all going to be the genius of David.
Is it cake, but for everything else?
Is it business?
Is it business? I didn't realize Jay Leno came back during the strike in 2007, 2008 and like performed monologues that he claimed to have written himself again, even though he was himself a guild member. But there were, of course, rumors that he had help and the WGA considered investigating his authorship. But then ultimately he got out of it.
Mm-hmm.
Elon Musk chimed in and suggested that Maher should share some Share more clips of his strike-breaking show on X. So,
it's freaking sad.
He's got all the good guys on.
Yeah.
It is really, like, interesting that they're all just lining up with one another. Just all the worst pieces of shit.
They're trying so hard. I mean, I don't know. I wonder what the next, because you know someone else is going to feel emboldened now, right?
Yeah.
Bill Maher is doing it. I wonder who the next person is. And I don't know if everyone's going to be like, oh, well, I see that one. I get that. I think most people, or at least from people that have any sort of interest in the strike, I think most people are just going to be like, this is fucking nonsense. Like,
right. But
go ahead.
Like, I could almost believe that Drew Barrymore should have come back because she should have showed solidarity, but I can almost believe that, like, I've never seen her show, but I would have to assume that it's, like, her out there just, like, giving off Drew Barrymore vibes, like, and that's kind of what a lot of the show is. But Bill Maher is, like, he shed every last piece of talent and, you know, relevance from his body, like in the early 90s. There's no way this isn't going to be a complete disaster.
Yeah. I mean, I bet without writers, it's probably just going to be like just unrestrained Islamophobia, which is one of his other loves when he gets to talking. Like,
I mean, that's basically what it is. Takes
out there. Yeah. Yeah. Right. So, prepare for an even more unadulterated version of that.
That sounds like it could be a title of his new show as well. Like, it just has that feeling. Unrestrained Islamophobia.
Yeah.
Yeah.
With Bill Maher.
I'm curious now, unfortunately. I feel like I didn't even know he still had a show, and I want to take a peek at this absolute disaster.
Yeah. I am intrigued. It's going to be interesting.
But you just said you couldn't do it, Jack. Save yourself. Save yourself.
Yeah.
You know,
I want to hurt myself. You know.
Me. Oh, all right. Well, like, you know, clips will be on.
I like pleasure X. Spiked with pain.
It'll be on X, formerly known as Twitter. Those clips.
This fucking Newsweek article about this was like Elon Musk told his more than 10 million followers on X, formerly Twitter, that, well, I just, like, I don't know. I'm still not allowing that. I will not allow it. Like, just say Twitter. You don't need to call it X just because he's calling it X. Like, it's confusing. It's wasted energy. It's wasted words. Are they worried that they'll get sued by Elon Musk, or do they think that, like, is that part of their style guide?
Right.
It seems like it was like a just across the board decision to call it, like, now start saying X, formerly known as Twitter. And it's so dumb.
He gets mad, dude. He gets mad. I forget what I wish I could remember half the tweets I read, but someone was like, yeah, it's really rich that the guy who's always into dead naming is suddenly being like, don't call it Twitter anymore.
Right.
It's X.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. We don't need to buy into this guy's delusion collectively. We can call it Twitter. Is that something you can be sued over? I can't imagine.
I don't know. Like, what?
Doesn't seem like it.
It feels like the corporate media has at least all been like, okay, so this is actually what we have to do because we're serious people.
Yeah,
and Elon Musk told us we have to.
Even though, yeah, you can still go to twitter.com. So,
yes.
Which one is it? Is it Uchiwali or is it One Mic?
Elon? It's x.com.
Yeah, it's x.com.
Did they say X? They just called it X.
So fucking weird.
Followers on X. What? Like, it
his
looks
10,
like a placeholder.
10 million followers are on X, man.
Yeah.
And they can't stop grinding their teeth.
That's right. All right.
It
well,
feels
in a little
like
bit.
A
of...
particularly dark dating app. Sorry. Just had this.
Right.
The logo, everything about it. X.
Yeah.
Find your next X on X.
It's right. Very, yeah. It looks unprofessional. It looks like shit. Yeah. But he's been trying to name something X for so long, in addition to his child.
You're
who
right.
He named X.
You're right.
Yeah. Right.
Yeah.
But he wanted to name PayPal X, I think, back in the day. And they were like, what? No. And then he's just gotten so rich that now all the people who could say what no to him are like,
yeah,
all right, I guess I'm fired.
There's Space X. There's a Model X Tesla. Like, it's,
yeah.
Everything's just X'd out. We get it, man. It's 98.
I think it's quite a cool letter, actually.
Yeah.
I'm sorry. Did someone say 98?
Hey,
you're vibing Jim with the psilocybin, though. That,
I had to show
that
mushroom tattoo.
That's right. All right. And finally, in a bit of good news, cup noodles now with caffeine. I think we don't even need to say anything beyond that.
Yeah. Only in Japan, though. Only in Japan.
Yeah.
Where, you know, dehydrated noodles are the fuel source of many people who like to play video games nonstop. It's like kind of like a trope, like single guys, like their apartment is just filled with like empty cup noodle containers. Because it's like the easiest way to feed yourself. So just as a Japanese person, it makes sense to be like, dude, throw some fucking caffeine in that shit now. And now we can get them to do it. It just does it all now for people who just want to just not have to move too far.
If you don't, if you're sick of energy drinks that don't taste like curry and pork, you know, that's this product is for you.
Yeah, yeah.
Are there other foods that are caffeinated?
Like
there's a type of chocolate called with a little chocolate. Owl on it.
Right, okay. right. But I guess not like they're like come into fucking Jimmy John's for our caffeinated footlongs or something like that.
Yeah, I mean
for
this
a wide
makes
awake
sense.
Hamburger.
Who doesn't want to chew an energy drink? I mean, it's honestly the perfect thing.
Yeah. Get your jaw working while your heart starts a pumping.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know. This story will just go down for me as the moment that I realized they dropped the O. That's the first time I noticed it. I don't know why I finally noticed it. We've done stories about their pumpkin spice cup noodles. We've done stories about their offbeat breakfast cup noodles. Mm-hmm. Maybe I have realized it before, but it didn't stick.
Ah.
So.
No. Yeah. I ate a lot of Maruchan instant lunch more than cup of noodles.
Oh, yeah.
You know, that chicken one. That was like, for a while, I remember I just told my mom, I was like, that's all I need to eat. Like, that's all I need to get at the store. Like, I'll just eat that because I just have to pour hot water on and I'm good.
There's nothing like a flavor pack. I could use more flavor packs in my life now that I'm thinking about it.
Do they just sell loose flavor packets of like instant ramen?
Crunched up bouillon?
That would be incredible.
Yeah, just give me that. I'll just put that on fucking everything. My popcorn and shit.
Oh, yeah.
New business side. New rules. Save your instant ramen flavor packets for a nice way to pep up your movie popcorn, folks. This is the kind of shit you're going to get without writers.
Yeah. That's right. Well, Deanne, such a pleasure having you on the Daily Zeitgeist. Where can people find you, follow you, all that good stuff?
Yeah, thank you. Just Google Deanne Smith. You'll find something. Listen, my online presence is chaotic. I have a new album out on 800-pound gorilla. It's called Chewini in a Tank Top, which is also my gender identity, and you must respect it. And I prepared for this. Like, I've never prepared for anything so hard in my life. So I'm going to tell you cities you can find me at soon. Oh, Toronto, amazing. September 21st to 23rd. Toronto. Portland, September 30th. Seattle, October 6th and 7th. And those are the most recent ones coming up.
All right. Amazing. Chewini is a chihuahua and a weenie dog, wiener dog?
Yeah, absolutely. Okay. Yeah.
Right. Oh, I just wanted to make sure the visual was clear to everybody.
Chewini in a tank top. It's part of a larger riff about, you know, I don't know, being a they, that, whatever. Who cares? Yeah. None of the words are right. Call me anything you want. None of the words are right.
Amazing. And is there a work of media that you've been enjoying?
Oh my gosh, yes. So I'm about a chapter away from finishing the book Hysterical. The last name is Bassist. I don't know how to pronounce the first name. E-L-I-S-S-A. Alyssa Bassist. It's a memoir called Hysterical, and it's just so freaking good. It's really about her personal struggles with health and silencing her own voice. And then it's just really smart and goes into just all sorts of things like women's literature and history and healthcare. And it made me feel smart reading it. And it does not make me feel smart trying to summarize it.
Those are the best ones. Yeah.
Hysterical by Bassist. It's really good. Yeah.
Amazing. And Miles, where can people find you? What's a work of media you've been enjoying?
Oh, yeah. Find me Twitter. All the places, basically. Miles of Gray, at Miles of Gray. If you like basketball, check Jack and I out on our basketball podcast. Miles and Jack got Mad Boosties. If you like 90 Day Fiance, check me out on my 90 Day Fiance podcast called 420 Day Fiance. You know what the fuck's going on right there when I say that. And also check out The Good Thief, which is a true crime show where we are pursuing the real life Greek Robin Hood. And it's all 8 episodes are out now. And when I say true crime, it has no murder or like fucked up violence or anything like that. It's just good old fashioned robbing millionaires and giving money away to people that need it. So it's a very good show. Some tweets I like. Oh, man, there's okay. So there's like when Bill Maher tweeted that he was bringing the show back, he like did this whole long thing. He's like, real time is coming back. Unfortunately, sans writers are writing. It has been 5 months and it is time to bring people back to work. The writers have important issues that I sympathize with, blah, blah, blah. At Harry M. Wood took that whole statement and just said, I know we're not supposed to be working during the strike, but I couldn't resist giving this a quick edit pass, and just blacked out selected words on this statement. And it reads like this. Real time is coming back, unfortunately. We all were hopeful this would come to an end, but I love to see people suffer. And I'll say it up front to the audience. The show will not be good. Full stop. The heart of the show is bullshit, and that will continue. The show will disappoint.
That's incredible.
That's great. Well done. All right. You can find me on Twitter at Jack_O'Brien. Yeah, I was really enjoying the Bill Maher stuff. So somebody just tweeted. Gabe DeLahey tweeted, a rare misstep for Bill Maher. Molly Mary O'Brien tweeted, my job, NFL team graphic designer. My mission, to make a bird look as mean as possible. Which, yeah. All right. You can find us on Twitter at Daily Zeitgeist. We're at The Daily Zeitgeist on Instagram. We have a Facebook fan page and a website, dailyzeitgeist.com, where we post our episodes and our footnotes, where we link off to the information that we talked about in today's episode, as well as a song that we think you might enjoy. Miles?
Yes?
What song do you think people might be enjoying?
Yeah, we're blessed today that my internet has not and power did not go down simultaneously when I had a song lined up to put everybody onto in yesterday's episode, but now I can't say. We're going to go out it's called Canock Chase, and I don't know if I'm pronouncing that right, but it's C-A-N-N-O-C-K, and then the second word is C-H-A-S-E, and it's by Lobby Siffre, who is like an iconic artist who I did not know of, but I knew that this man's work was sampled so many times, and he is still alive, but in the 70s, this openly gay musician who talked all, like, just the lyrics were hitting real topics that people were feeling back then. And it's like, he's like this like funkier, like Black James Taylor from the UK kind of vibe. The guitar picking is really good. So check this album out. If you liked any of those words I said, you must check this song out. It's by Lobby, L-A-B-I, Siffre, S-I-F-F-R-E, and it's called Canock Chase. But yeah, you check this one out.
All right. We will link off to that in the footnotes. The Daily Zeitgeist is a production of iHeartRadio. For more podcasts from iHeartRadio, visit the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to your favorite shows. That is going to do it for us this week. We are back on Monday morning to tell you what trended over the weekend, and on Tuesday with a very special episode. We'll talk to y'all then. Bye.
Bye.
Zeit Gang, you like to watch new stuff, right? I mean, who doesn't? I do. Well, go to Hulu and see what's new, because Hulu has new stuff all the time, like Vanderpump Villa, the new docudrama starring Lisa Vanderpump, where first-class luxury meets world-class drama. A new season of The Kardashians starring The Kardashians, of course, and Grand Cayman, Secrets in Paradise, the sizzling new reality show set in the tropical Caribbean. It's streaming now, and it's waiting for you on Hulu.
Here's something you might not know about wireless. Sometimes what you see isn't what you get. But with Visible, what you see is what you get. Switch to Visible, the wireless company that makes wireless visible. Get a one-line plan with unlimited 5G data powered by Verizon. Just $25 per month, taxes and fees included. Switch now at Visible.com. Monthly rate on the Visible plan. For data management practices and additional terms, visit Visible.com.
From BBC Radio 4, Britain's biggest paranormal podcast is going on a road trip.
I thought in that moment, oh my God, we've summoned something from this board.
This is Uncanny USA.
He says, somebody's in the house, and I screamed.
Listen to Uncanny USA wherever you get your BBC podcasts, if you dare.